Welcome back. So ridiculous. All right, let's finish this thought and move on to other business. So back in September of 2015, Loretta Lynch made the infamous announcement of the Strong Cities Network. It's the same communitarian push. She says at the end, I swear there was in that her remarks at the UN General Assembly, something that mentioned that the Institute for Strategic Dialogue is what it was, by the way. Baron Weidenfeld, George Weidenfeld, who was a, you know, I mean, even on his Wikipedia, in 1945, Weidenfeld served for a year as the political advisor and chief of cabinet to Chaim Weizmann, the first president of British Israel. I'm just going to make that distinction so that we don't conflate terms. Not biblical Israel, just, you know, to make a distinction. That's all. And then you skip forward, you know, in January 2006, the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, founded as the Club of Three, that's what I was talking about, in the 1990s, was established with Weidenfeld as its leadership program in Oxford, and in 2010 founded the Humanitas program of visiting chairs at Oxford and Cambridge. And Bill Gates has his the Cambridge scholarship that's similar to the Rhodes scholarship. I mean, Bill Gates is sort of the nexus of so many awful things. You know, the continuation of Cecil Rhodes' work, the continuation of the Rockefeller pogroms. How about we call them that? You know, speaking of taking hold of the memes, I don't want to use the devil's tactics. God doesn't do that. That's not how God works. But, you know, these people gaslight. They are responsive to the general public only in the sense that, you know, they have these, you know, these community town hall things where they do two things. They basically use you to gather the, you know, you do the heavy lifting for the think tanks when you say, well, these are our concerns. And then they take those concerns away, Smith talking points, to brick up any resistance or opposition to what they're doing. There were some holes, a couple of holes in our narrative. So, you know, let's get the feedback from the people and the arguments that they've made. So when you understand that, you understand that you and I are far more intelligent and sophisticated than most of these idiots who are, you know, sycophants to power generally, which is really sad, pathetic, and disgusting. Like I was saying, basically these people end up being, you know, Igor to Dracula or Nosferatu. You know, I'll help you as long as you don't, you know, eat me. Really, that's what they are. It's disgusting and pathetic. Weak, sick, servile, deranged, you know, mentally deranged. It's very sad. So they probably need lots of prayer. So in January 2006, the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, founded as the Club of Three in the 1990s. How do you feel about that, America? Does that you know, resonate with what John Adams told us back in 1765? There seems to be a direct and formal design on foot to enslave all America. Actually, let me back up a sentence. Two sentences. The prospect now before us in America ought in the same manner to engage the attention of every man of learning to matters of power and of right, that we may be neither led nor driven blindfolded to irretrievable destruction. Nothing less than this seems to have been meditated for us by somebody or other in Great Britain. Huh. Didn't we have, you know, wasn't there a laundry list of things somewhere along the way? Facts submitted to a candid world, I think is how that was phrased. And so now, you know, founded as the Club of Three, How do you feel about that, America? Does that sound American to you? That should get everyone's hackles up in America. Like John Adams said, nothing less than this, you know, our being led or driven blindfolded to irretrievable destruction, nothing less than this seems to have been meditated for us by somebody or other in Great Britain. There seems to be a direct and formal design on foot to enslave all America. This, however, must be done by degrees. The first step that is intended seems to be an entire subversion of the whole system of our fathers by the introduction of the canon and feudal law into America. Now, the canon is the canon of science, but it's really pseudoscience. How to lie with statistics, as Bill Gates wants to brag. Lies, damn lies, and statistics. And that's it. And technocrats want to manipulate us endlessly with so-called data and so-called science. So you have this situation, and just looking at the Institute for Strategic Dialogue Wikipedia entry, going through some of these things, you know, it's the countering violent extremism. Remember CVE through the Obama era? I'm sure if we dug into Sasha Havlicek's background, she's a terrorist, probably a Weather Underground connected terrorist, or worse. And so, you know, we still have the same thing continuing on through the Trump administration, the CVE initiative, though it's by a different means. I've talked about some of that in the past. You know, you go to ISDglobal.org, the Institute's homepage, which, by the way, brags itself a think and do tank, which reminds me of FCLT Global, which was born out of McKinsey, Mark Wiseman, describing it as a do tank, not think tank. These people are insane. A do tank? People have mentioned, you know, speaking of hypernormalization, Adam Curtis's documentary, he touches on the fact that, you know, these bankers wanted to run the world and basically leave government in the dust. Government is window dressing. It's kabuki theater for the slaves chained to the wall in Plato's Republic. It's time for the slaves to break the chains, run out into the daylight, and probably seal off the cave and leave these psychopaths in it. You know, you go to ISDglobal.org. White supremacist groups are recruiting with help from coronavirus. Investigation by ISD. How pathetically ridiculous. How pathetically ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Kind of like the tweet that was sent to me this morning. You know, PBS, healthcare providers are making invaluable personal sacrifices to keep us safe and healthy. Like these nurses who finally got to hug their kids after 36 long days. Why would you do that as a parent? What's wrong with you? You know, kids in Halloween costumes, plastic Halloween costumes, basically, running out April 20th, you know, by hugging their parents goodbye. It's ridiculous. And I retweeted it with this comment. This is the most ridiculous, pathetic thing I've seen in a while. These days, it's hours or minutes, maybe, because everything's ridiculous. Speaking of hypernormalization, it demonstrates, I commented, just how detached from reality we've allowed ourselves to become. If you give this any credence, Edward Bernays and Norbert Wiener would be proud. Wake up, America and Americans. It's ridiculous. No offense to the parents, and specifically maybe, you know, nurses in general trying to do something good that may have, but who knows if this is more staged political theater. I would suspect so. Where are these parents now? Can we talk to them and, you know, hear from them? Will they tell us? Was it, I mean, can we get an honest answer anyway? Probably not. It's ridiculous what's happening. And so back to Larkin, Texas's point, two overarching communitarian policy objectives, which I would say dovetails, or, you know, there's a confluence between what he's saying and, for example, amazing Pauly St. George's latest video, boom, guess who is calling the shots on human experimentation? Human experimentation, which gets back to what David Martin said. We'll come back to that. Being, you know, people being manipulated and coerced and convinced that they need to, you know, we're being shushed, America. You look at the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, it's hardcore communitarian stuff. This combating violent extremism, the Strong Cities Network, you know, the partnering with Google Innovation Fund back in 2017, which is just a subversive terrorist organization, Google Innovation Fund, the reticulating jaws from the alien is what all of this stuff is. Another one pops out, another one. You know, all of these things are a way to shush the American public. And so, like I said, getting back to the town hall stuff, they suck the talking points and valid concerns out of the community and go back and smith their little brick and mortar to brick up any argument. And at the same time, they gaslight people on reality. They're not actually responding to people in these efforts genuinely or legitimately or authentically. It is an indirect, subtle, implicit gaslighting response that basically makes all of those arguments go away. And what that effectively is the shushing of Adam Goldberg's character in the stabbing scene in Saving Private Ryan. That's what it effectively is. Speaking of taking hold of the memes and the narrative. Hopefully that is not too gruesome. But that's what's happening, America. You know, you're being shushed to death, literally. And it's, you know, it's a soft kill or a slow kill. So back to Lark's point, two overarching communitarian policy objectives. And again, just because the American mind simply has not come to the realization does not mean the evil is not real. Let's not forget that. Depopulation and techno-slavery, the two overarching objectives of global to local, speaking of the Institute for Strategic Dialogue and these kinds of efforts, communitarian governance are depopulation and techno-slavery. And then he quotes Earl Shoris, A Nation of Salesmen. It was indeed the age of information, but information was not the precursor to knowledge. It was the tool of the salesman. And then Lark goes on, depopulation is a standalone euphemism for total war. And I would include, as I've been saying, you know, people, there are no bombs, there are no guns, there are no tanks rolling in streets. We don't have our own Tiananmen Square. It's not war, really. How naive, how foolish. Low-intensity operations has been the method, the modus operandi, for decades now. Low-intensity conflict and related efforts. So continuing, depopulation is a standalone euphemism for total war. In order to, and when I think total war, you know, I think of George Friedman's Brain Bar Budapest talk a few years ago now. I present to you the iPhone. Is there a global war coming? It's all around us. I present to you the iPhone. In order to effect a soft kill, quote unquote, genocide of the human population, Lark adds, the elimination of the old in order to usher in the new, which gets back to Zeke Emanuel's quotes as the death czar, or Bill Gates. You know, maybe we should, you know, instead of spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life, maybe we should, you know, keep these 10 teachers, which is lying with statistics, plain and simple, which he likes, according to his numbers game, number games post, blog post, back in 2015, the same time he was doing that TED Talk, which I think is, you know, telling, obviously, where he said, but, you know, that's death panels and we can't have that conversation. Disgusting. Who decides when the last 3 months of life begins? Maybe Bill Gates and Zeke Emanuel and Romwall were at it. Maybe their last 3 months of life begins now. And we shouldn't spend $1 million on their last 3 months. We should keep teachers employed. What about that? Because, you know, schools across the country are apparently experiencing budgetary issues for years and even decades now, which is all part, you know, that's part and parcel to the central banking scheme. Eventually, that's what happens. That's why it's the, you know, the Highlander, there can be only one scenario. Everything gets subsumed in a central banking scheme because eventually purchasing power is eroded. What are you going to do? All you can do is appeal to the masters of the printing press. That's all you can do eventually, especially if you've been beguiled into a situation where you have no other means of commerce but the instrument of currency that is issued at debt. Perpetual debt slavery is what that is. That should be illegal in every society. The central banking scheme should be abolished. And personally, I think anybody who approaches the public discussion or Congress or any governmental institution, governmental body with a scheme like that should be brought up on charges and brought to trial immediately. If we did those kinds of things, we would get rid of all of this chicanery virtually overnight. Vampires would retreat into darkness. Continuing, depopulation is a standalone euphemism for total war. In order to effect a soft kill, genocide, parenthetically, of the human population, the elimination of the old in order to usher in the new. And again, you know, it's a transition. It's so much bigger than people realize. So much bigger. You know, as Patrick Wood talks, it's the transition from this, what I would call super capitalist or Fordist system, if we could even talk about, you know, the remote vestiges of capitalism and, you know, this merger of capitalism and communism, so to speak. Super capitalism, as Congressman Larry McDonald put it in his foreword to what? The Rockefeller File? Was it? Do I think such a conspiracy exists? Hello. You might as well have said that, you know. Anyway. All right. I'll finish. We'll move on. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back. I seem to recall somewhere along the way, I did something on Sasha Havlicek, and there were connections. Basically, she's a terrorist. She's like a U.S. aid, color revolutionary terrorist, and it just escapes me at the moment. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of hypernormalization, remember when back in 2016, post-truth was the Oxford English Dictionary Word of the Year? Speaking of that, you know, if you watch the trailer for hypernormalization, Adam Curtis's 2016 BBC documentary, the trailer opens with the words, "We live in a world where the powerful deceive us. We know they lie. They know we know they lie. They don't care. We say we care, but we do nothing." And Lark has made that point many times. You can say whatever you want. You're just not supposed to do anything. And Curtis adds, "And nothing ever changes. It's normal. Welcome to the post-truth world." It's not normal, and it shouldn't be normalized, let alone hyper-normalized. So, continuing and concluding, depopulation is a standalone euphemism for total war. Speaking of, you know, things like our post-human future. So, that reminds me of speeches by guys like Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. When they say "our," your mind wants to think, you know, cognitive bias, normalcy bias, says, oh, well, it's all of us. Not so sure. Not so fast. Read the book. Depopulation is a standalone euphemism for total war in order to effect a soft kill, genocide of the human population, the elimination of the old in order to usher in the new, examples of which are psychological, asymmetric, nonlinear, cybernetic, biological, cultural, spiritual, socioeconomic, and mimetic engineering, aka warfare, even chemical warfare. And now, you know, yeah, and lawfare and more. So speaking of lawfare, Jason interviewing Elizabeth Lee Beck, recently, you know, and she talked about the lawfare, and while we're at it, you know, I suppose what could be added to the list, what probably should be, speaking of that interview, is the Gerasimov Doctrine, which is basically the weaponization of everything. And there is the RBN host who said, America, your government has been weaponized against you. And I wish I could remember who that was. But, you know, that's essentially, that comes down to the Gerasimov Doctrine, which we've talked about before. I think the last time I mentioned that was back in 2018, hybrid warfare, nonlinear, asymmetric, political, low-intensity conflict, low-intensity operations, those kinds of things. But it's the weaponization of everything. And that's where we're at. Again, speaking of John 10:10, the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. The Gerasimov Doctrine probably could be added to these sentiments. So continuing, you know, and more. Yeah, I would say summarized in the Gerasimov Doctrine. And there's much that Lark adds, but it's this, you know. And so speaking of that the stabbing scene and you know, the stabbing of Adam Goldberg's character in Saving Private Ryan, Lark adds the three A's that he mentions: amnesia, abulia, and apathy. With amnesia, the collective memory dies. Speaking of Dr. Stan Monteith, Joan Vian, you know, the work of these giants, you know, who knows who Jack Otto is these days? And yet this broadcast right now is essentially a product of Jack Otto's legacy. Abulia is the condition, loss of will, and apathy signifies our lack of concern or care. All three A's lead to our subjugation, our suicide, and acculturation, which he defines also. Anyway, it's worth reading on Communitarianism, Collected Musings, April 2020 by Lark in Texas. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Welcome back. All right, we need to move on. Intellectuals who think that they're somehow going to be preserved in this extermination of folks need to go read up on the Night of the Long Knives and understand that if you, you know, understand, you know where the bodies are buried or you know how the sausage is really made, then you must be eliminated. You will be jettisoned like a booster rocket. And that is another cliche, a sort of axiom of history. You know, speaking of that, just briefly, some of the things that I have not gotten to that I noticed and will watch and, you know, in all its horror and grotesquery. I'm going to talk about Mayor Jacob Frey and his speech yesterday. That was interesting. Reposted that. My goodness. So the folks over at Johns Hopkins, session one, session two, all this kind of stuff. Here's one that's fun from yesterday. Wasn't it yesterday, I think? Shock and awe. Impacts of in science and space, science and society. How about this one? Manipulating life, the ethics of emerging biotechnologies, which you'll think is interesting in relation to the Amazing Poly clip that we're going to play. How about this one? Why wasn't Spinoza excommunicated? You know, when guys like Michio Kaku say, I believe in the God of Spinoza. Oh, you mean you've made your Faustian bargain. I get it. I see. So you come like the thief who came only to steal, kill, and destroy. Got it. You're like your father, the devil. I understand. I believe in the God of Spinoza. So this tool wants to know why Spinoza wasn't excommunicated. I mean, it's time, America, to move on, to start taking action, and to start, you know, doing away with all of this evil. Because that's what it is. How about this one from Johns Hopkins? Session 2, Manipulating Life. Oh, I already mentioned that one, right? The Ethics of Emerging Biotechnologies. Yeah, I mentioned that one. It's unbelievable. This kind of garbage. You know, and this is at Johns Hopkins University. America is, you know, the pollution went from the streets into the highest, you know, the halls, the highest halls of academia. And, you know, that cesspool then was filtered out into the think tanks, you know, and into, through the mainstream media, into the veins of the American people. That's what's happening now. And we're being shushed. Shh, just exterminate yourself. Don't worry, it'll all be over soon. You want some entertainment? You want a Coke or a Pepsi along the way? You want some entertainment? You want some, maybe a video game or some other entertainment? Some amusement? It needs to end. We need to get a hold of ourselves. We need to return to reality. And this is surreal. This is not natural, not normal. We definitely need to, probably should open with Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey's remarks, you know, yesterday. Probably should open with that. But instead, we're going to go to Polly. We're going to play some, or probably we'll end up playing all of it. But let's just do that. Let's just get that done. Boom. Guess who is calling the shots on human experimentation? Guess who is calling the shots? You'll be surprised if you haven't seen this already. So if you would, please, let's do that.
I have a boom for you today. I've been researching this for a few days now, and there's all kinds of things that come up in relation to this. And I got lost in that, and I was determined to bring all of it to you at once in this video. But you know what? In the end, I realized this is such a big deal that it's important for me to go back to the original boom and just deliver that right now by itself to you, all right? It all started with this tweet. COVID-19 ethical challenges for nurses at the Hastings Center. And I noticed that all of these people's names got highlighted, which means that they have a Twitter account, except for this person, Christine Grady. And I thought, well, who might she be? We discussed three major challenges from a nursing perspective: safety of self and others, allocation of scarce resources, and relationships. Christine Grady is not even on Twitter. Who is she? I thought. So I looked her up. First thing I found was this. Christine Grady happens to work for the National Institute of Health. She is the chief of bioethics and the head of the section on human subjects research. Whoa, I didn't even know that that department existed. Human Subjects Research Department of the National Institutes of Health? All right, that was the first thing I found out about Christine Grady. Let's see, what else? She writes a lot of academic papers, a lot. And she's written a book, Search for an AIDS Vaccine. That was in 1995. One of her most interesting papers that she wrote, she co-authored with another guy in 2005, called Four Paradigms of Clinical Research and Research Oversight. That is going to be the subject of another video, so I'll leave it here for now. But suffice to say that she goes through medical research on human subjects over the course of the last 80 years or so, since World War II. And she categorizes the phases that they've gone through. And where she ends up is that in 2005, we were getting into a communitarian-based paradigm of human research subjects. And what she essentially means is they've made it so that the general public feels like it is their duty as humans to possibly sacrifice their own lives for medical research. They don't even have to buy people anymore, pay them. They don't have to have people who are sick. They have now done such a mind job on the general public that they can convince a lot of perfectly healthy people to come in and let them experiment on them for free for the good of humanity. That's where Christine Grady's head is at in terms of her ethics. Okay? So keep that in mind as we go forward. And also, Christine Grady in 2017 gave a talk at the National Institute of Health about the framework for the ethics of research with human subjects. Well, I just told you where her head is at. And in the 2017 version, it's practically a copy of that 2005 article that she wrote, but updated terminology. I don't believe she uses the word communitarian anymore because people know what that means. It's a weird kind of communism where you've talked people into doing it through psychological pressure and things like this and training and conditioning. All right, what else about Christine Grady? I have not gotten to the boom yet. It's coming. Booms are always better if we build them up, right? Okay. Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues. Look at that. She was on the President's Commission from 2010, so appointed by Obama, and she was finished there in 2017. I don't know what the story is behind her departure, but like I said, she was still giving speeches and everything about her chosen topic in 2017, and then all of a sudden she was gone. So that's Christine Grady's professional background. I wanted to learn a little bit more about her family, and I found her sister. Wouldn't you know this? Christine Grady's sister was involved in one of the embassy bombings. Here she is here, Joanne Husky. This is from a YouTube video from Voice of Africa. So the story is that she's married to this guy, James L. Husky, who happened to be the second secretary at the embassy in Nairobi, Kenya, in 1998. She went there that day, the day of the bombing, supposedly, to have her children get tested to be approved to go to school in Kenya. And she says she parked her car, she walked into the building, had just gone down the stairs to the medical area, and the bomb went off. And it knocked her and her children to the floor. It was perfectly black. She couldn't see anything. Her husband was apparently in the building. They found each other somehow and went outside into the parking lot, and she noticed even her car was just a black shell, she said. Almost like her car had the bomb in it. I don't know. But I'm not suggesting that, but that's the story that she tells. Isn't that interesting? And the husband, of course, is just as pivotal to look at as the sister. So James L. Husky's LinkedIn page is here, and we can see that from 2012 to present, he's been a consultant in international affairs at colleges and universities, but more importantly, at the U.S. Department of State. So now he's just not on the payroll, he's a contractor. At the Department of State, James Husky, so Christine Grady's brother-in-law, reviews diplomatic correspondence and documents for release via Freedom of Information Act requests. Okay, so he is the choke point for information getting out into the public for anything the State Department might do, especially the ambassadors. And it's funny because who is one of the ambassadors? I mean, ambassadors have played a pivotal role in one or two particular big news items. Since Trump's gotten elected, I can think immediately of Marie Yovanovitch from Ukraine and Sondland and other diplomats and ambassadors, right? And Christine Grady's sister's husband, her brother-in-law, works right now reviewing diplomatic correspondence and documents for release via Freedom of Information Act requests. Very interesting. And then when you go back in time in Husky's career, you can see Department of State. He was Director of Crisis Management, Deputy Director, Office of Global Systems. He was a diplomat in residence at Georgetown University, Deputy Director, Office of East Asia Regional Security at the U.S. Department of State between 1999 and 2002. Seems like a little thing called the September 11th bombings happened right in the middle of that. I don't know if he was in any of the countries involved, but then we don't really know which countries were truly involved in that, do we? And then going all the way back to 1996 is when he started at the embassy in Nairobi, Kenya. That's quite the background so far for Christine Grady. She's head of human subjects research and medical ethics at NIH, was on the President's Medical Ethics Commission for 7 years, starting in 2010. Christine Grady's sister is connected directly to a person who's been in the Department of State since 1996. She's written a book called The Search for an AIDS Vaccine, and her ethics are communitarian-minded. Does she have any connection to Bill Gates? That would be the burning question, wouldn't it? If I could find Christine Grady sitting on the board of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or something like that. Well, I could not find any such connection. No direct connection, anyway. And that's where the boom comes in. Are you ready? Who is Christine Grady married to? Any guesses? I won't keep you in suspense. Christine Grady is married to Anthony Fauci. What? Are you kidding? My jaw dropped when I saw that. Christine Grady, head of bioethics and human experimentation at the NIH, is married to Anthony Fauci, who also works at the NIH and is head of the Coronavirus Response Task Force. Boom. Boom. And who needs a direct connection between Christine Grady and Bill Gates when you know all we know about Anthony Fauci's own connections to Bill Gates? Now, there's newspaper articles and television spots out there right now claiming that Anthony Fauci is not on the board of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Well, that's true. He's not. But that's an obfuscation on the part of the news. That's how they lie. They don't outright lie to you. They just frame it in such a way that they can set up a straw man and defeat the straw man. The straw man's never a true assertion in the first place. What people know is that Anthony Fauci is connected in a myriad ways to Bill Gates. Here's just two of them for the sake of brevity. Because from Philanthropy News Daily in 2002, in this article, which is called Gates Foundation Names New Director of Global Health Program, they mentioned that that position went to Dr. Richard D. Klausner. But they mention further down in the article that along with Dr. Richard D. Klausner, another man will be overseeing the creation and development of the Vaccine Research Center, and that man is Dr. Anthony Fauci. There's one connection going all the way back to 2002. And a second one, very significantly, is from this Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation website press release from 2010. Global health leaders launch decade of vaccines collaboration. New York, the World Health Organization, UNICEF, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have announced a collaboration for the decade of vaccines. The leadership council there is comprised of Margaret Chan, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and others. So, who needs a direct connection when you've got a marriage partner that can have that connection for you and obscure it? Don't forget, Anthony Fauci is also the person who created PEPFAR. That's a HIV/AIDS funding mechanism from the U.S. government through the U.S. State Department to this other entity called PEPFAR. Bill and Melinda Gates have benefited greatly from funding that goes through PEPFAR. Oh yeah, and before I forget, you guys, if you've been watching me for a while, already know this, but not only did Anthony Fauci create PEPFAR, but the current head of PEPFAR is Deborah Birx. And as you probably know, Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx are the two people in charge of the coronavirus task force response in the United States. So isn't that cozy? And who stands to benefit if a vaccine gets approved for the COVID-19 response? Bill Gates, of course. Here is a clip, a of Bill Gates, a couple of clips probably, of Bill Gates talking about his vaccine dreams for COVID-19. Note how he seems to understand that the world is being pressured right now in every way, economically, socially, fear with fear that they're going to get sick. They can't see their loved ones. We're all under this right now. So he knows we're kind of hostage. He knows how badly everybody wants their lives to be given back to them, their freedom to be given back to them, their choices to be given back to them. But he seems to think, I mean, you can see it on his face. He knows how this works to his advantage. Because generally vaccines can take 50 years to develop. Even more recent vaccines took 17 years, things like that, for Hep B and things like that. They want to do this in a year, but they know they can't get away with it unless people crave it. And we crave it because they are currently ruining our lives. And I think Bill Gates knows it. Look at his face when he talks about this stuff.
Stop people going across borders very dramatically these next few years till we get to that full vaccination. So we'll have a lot of unusual measures until we get the world vaccinated. You know, 7 billion people, that's a tall order, but it is where we need to get to.
When will there be a vaccine?
People like myself and Tony Fauci are saying 18 months. If everything went perfectly, we could do slightly better than that. But there will be a trade-off. We'll have less safety testing than we typically would have. And so governments will have to decide, you know, do they indemnify the companies and really say, let's go out with this when it's we just don't have the time to do what we normally do. You can run into safety issues. So we're going to have to take something that usually takes 5 or 6 years and get it done in 18 months. If you want to wait and see if a side effect shows up 2 years later, that takes 2 years.
How could this ever conceivably be seen as being ethical? And do you think this constitutes human subjects research? To put out a vaccine like the one they want now, which is never been tried before. It has never been tried before, this RNA vaccine. It's very dangerous, especially to rush it this way and to try to force it on people, to try to take away our choices. How is this ethical? Well, I guess it helps when a longtime partner of yours, if you're Bill Gates, your longtime partner, Dr. Anthony Fauci of the NIH, happens to be married to the person who is in charge of bioethics and human experimentation at the NIH, I guess it helps. In her 2017 presentation that she gave on the framework for the ethics of research with human subjects, Christine Grady, in her disclaimer, says, "I have no conflicts of interest to declare." Well, that doesn't seem very true to me. She herself may not be connected to vaccine manufacturers or foundations which benefit from being able to experiment on human subjects. However, as I've shown you, her husband does. Just look at all these overlapping interests right here. Just her book alone, which was published in May 22, 1995, and was about an analysis of the knotty ethical problems involved in human subjects research as it pertains to HIV vaccines and the AIDS epidemic. That came out in 1995. Well, in 1996, her husband, Anthony Fauci, presents NIAID strategy for HIV vaccine development. The article says that he seeks to develop a partnership between the Institute and industry sponsors, so Big Pharma. He wants to identify and exploit scientific opportunities to accelerate HIV vaccine research. What might those be? Maybe populations of captive audiences? Maybe going into countries in Africa where the people can't defend themselves? And he seeks to strengthen collaborative interactions with other public and private organizations. Like who? Possibly the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? Organizations like that? Dr. Fauci is optimistic that a useful HIV vaccine can be developed despite economic, ethical, and cultural constraints. Well, yeah, it's easy to do. when your wife is the head of bioethics and human subject research at the National Institute of Health. That sure does grease the wheels, doesn't it? So, yeah, excuse me, but I don't have a high opinion of Christine Grady's own ethics when she says, I have no conflicts of interest to declare. I'm going to leave it there for today because I think this boom is big enough as it is. There were tentacles that came off of this about medical ethics, about the polio vaccine, about Bill Gates and his company using technology to track refugees way back in 2001. In fact, before I stop talking, let me just give you a look at that one because this has to do with Christine Grady's sister, Joanne. I told you she was involved in that Kenya bombing, right, at the embassy? Well, in this 2001 edition of Foreign Service Journal, they print her story. She writes it in and they print it. And in this very same edition of Foreign Service Journal is another interesting article about technology and the UN High Commission on Refugees. It turns out that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave $600,000 and Microsoft Corporation gave software and laptops to the UN High Commission on Refugees, who first took them to Kosovo to track the refugees and log them. And then they used version 2.0 after that in Senegal and New Delhi. It says here, in a speech at Microsoft headquarters last July, then-Deputy High Commissioner for Refugees Rick Barton suggested that technology could help UNHCR, quote, move beyond just the care and maintenance of refugees to connect the diaspora of people who are influential in the development of post-conflict societies. Oh boy, that opens a whole can of worms. Do you remember my research on Project Aerodynamic, which was where the CIA identified a large diaspora community of Ukrainians that had come mostly to Canada? And the CIA moved in and used the fact that they were unassimilated and that they were kind of an island in itself, floating.
We will be right back. 3 hour coming up. Stick around.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.